Just south of Sacramento, the Elk Grove Unified School District serves up a food education curriculum for its kindergarten through sixth grade students. Every elementary school in the district has been recognized with a U.S. Healthier Schools Award by the First Lady's Let's Move campaign. And Elk Grove Unified has discovered that nutrition doesn't need to suffer when meals are mass-produced, especially in one of the largest school districts in California. So, how does it all work? Elaine Korn takes us on a tour of the busy central kitchen to see where the district prepares more than 8 million meals a year. She stopped first in the lunchroom of David Reese Elementary.
What's this?
Fish sticks.
Why did you pick fish sticks?
Because I never tried fish sticks with tar and I never taste tar. Tar sauce.
The fourth grader squeezes out the contents of a packet of tartar sauce. She starts to eat this strange new dish.
It's good.
Kids make split-second choices about what to grab in the line. They speed-read signs over each entree. Fish sticks, one sign says. It blares in magic marker. Protein, grain, surrounded by hand-drawn stars. Each shift of nearly 200 students must get through this line in 90 seconds. A cashier checks the trays. Too many fruits? Put one back. Not enough grain? Exchange an entree.
When I go to line, I see all the food there is, so I quickly go through it and get the food I want.
An Elk Grove school lunch costs $2.50. 53% of the kids in this district come from families with low incomes, so they're eligible for free or reduced-priced lunch. The food selection's the same. No one knows who's eating free or who pays for lunch. Fourth grader Pedro picked up a burger on a benign beige bun made from scratch with whole wheat flour. His lunch includes a plum, milk, and a chocolate chip cookie.
What's your opinion of healthy food?
It helps your body grow and be strong.
Lunch would be more nutritious if every child finished every bite, but with only 20 minutes, it's a race to eat everything on the tray while talking to friends, unwrapping all the pizzas and condiment packets. A third grade boy named Zarian says the food here at school is better than the food he gets at home.
What do you have here?
Let me see. A pear, juice, milk, cucumbers, plum, and a sandwich.
What is it?
Chicken.
It's turkey. Commodity turkey. Zarian not only eats breakfast and lunch at David Reese Elementary, he also gets a supper snack during an after-school program. But now Zarian is far from finished, and time's running out to go outdoors for recess. In minutes, the fifth and sixth graders will be blasting through the doors.
3, 2, 1, 0. Now's the time to finish eating. We'll be dumping trays in about 3 minutes. No talking, proceed.
Silent lunch has begun. Anything students don't finish goes in the trash. Whole pears, untouched sandwiches, still sealed packages of kid carrots, entire cartons of milk. To inspire a clean plate club mentality, Principal Jennifer Avey initiated silent lunch.
And it's actually almost 5 minutes of quiet time at the end of their 20-minute lunchtime, so it allows them to focus on finishing their food and having enough time to actually eat that day.
And that's a lunch shift at David Reese Elementary in the Elk Grove School District. An industrial conveyor machine is clacking away in the Elk Grove Unified School District's food processing center in South Sacramento. Hair-netted workers fill compartments in plastic snack containers. Michelle Drake is director of Food and Nutrition Services.
When this line is moving faster, when we go up in speed, it is very difficult to keep up. That is not an easy job.
Michelle Drake has a degree in business and a restaurant background. Staff is carefully hired for experience with large food equipment and an ability to work fast. Today, oranges are being sectioned by a dangerously sharp wedging machine.
We find that if a child has to peel an orange, they won't necessarily eat it. But when it's already cut for them, they enjoy eating it like a smile. They put it over their teeth and eat the actual flesh of the product.
No school is equipped with a fully functioning kitchen. So this loud facility provides meals for 61,000 students at Elk Grove's 60 schools. Food is prepped, mixed, bagged, and packed for transport. It's wheeled to a loading dock where pallets are strapped down in six refrigerated vans that deliver meals to every school the night before they're served. Marty Rome's job title is Food Production Lead. He wears a black chef coat. Rome was trained at the California Culinary Academy and worked for Marriott. During the 19 years Rome has worked for Elk Grove's food service, he's had to adapt to constant change.
Since more healthy 10 years ago, it wasn't as a big a focus. We have a lot more lower fats, lower sodiums.
Rome supervises a kitchen where recipes are important not only for federally mandated nutrition requirements, but because much of what Elk Grove students eat is made from scratch, but not like you could make at home.
Like taco meat, that'll be about 5,000 portions for one batch.
The Elk Grove Unified School District serves 6 million lunches a year. If you add breakfast, snack, and in some high-need areas, supper, that's 8.5 million meals a year. A warehouse the size of a Home Depot stores dry goods. There's a staff of 50. Soup cauldrons the size of hot tubs. Bakery mixers big enough to churn cement. Today, the aroma of sweet dough means chocolate chip cookies are in the oven. Rome calls them SB12 cookies. They're named for the Senate bill that established California's school nutrition standards in 2007.
We're listening to what's called a cookie depositor. This is pre-weighing each cookie that's coming out. High school will be a different weight than the elementary. 2, 4, 6, 24 per pan.
15,000 SB12 chocolate chip cookies a day. Rome says it's cheaper to make them on site rather than pay a vendor.
I probably had 10 failures before I got it correct.
Rome needed a cookie with kid approval and appropriate nutritional math. 35% of calories from fat, 35% sugar by weight, 175 calories for elementary school, 250 calories for middle and high school. Rome insisted on real chocolate. After all, chocolate has antioxidants, but the amount had to be just right.
If I put too many in, then it goes over the saturated fats.
Inspired by new guidelines that call for more whole grains, the SB12s are made totally with whole wheat flour. Rome's secret ingredient to mask the whole wheat taste is applesauce.
We've taken out all the bad ingredients, we put only the good ones in.
The Elk Grove Unified School District is the fifth largest in California. The yearly budget for Elk Grove's food program is $23 million, but it's not as simple as buying in bulk at a warehouse store. The lunch program is a ballet of undulating food costs, meeting federal nutritional guidelines, making menus, cooking food, serving students, and collecting government reimbursement. But what sets Elk Grove's system apart and makes it an award-winning program is that first and third graders are the arbiters of taste.
They're going to be really excited because we're bringing chicken nuggets back. It's whole grain, breast meat.
Bobby Waybright is the buyer for all food served in the Elk Grove School District. She makes out huge grocery lists. In her line of work, they're called bids or purchase orders. Distributors and manufacturers covet a contract with Elk Grove. It's big money.
Basically, we have a lot of people that are constantly calling us and saying, I want to get on your bidders list. And our volume is large enough where some manufacturers actually consider tweaking their formula to fit our needs.
Waybright sends USDA commodity meat to processors that prepare it according to district specifications. She ticks off unimaginable numbers.
We're sending just shy of 100,000 pounds of beef to a processor, which was going to be made into mini cheeseburgers and beef patties. 36,000 pounds of chicken to a processor to have chicken breast patties and popcorn chicken.
This is the year of guideline glitches. Kids love the district's bean burrito. It's a good vegetarian option. But Michelle Drake, the director of Food and Nutrition Services, says the burritos ordered in January no longer meet the federal guidelines.
Because of the new regulations, the burrito that we have been serving doesn't fit the specs because it is too much bread grain and not enough meat alternate.
Elk Grove's registered dietitian, Ann Gaffney, designs the menus. Her desk is piled with calendar pages, each filled with Post-it notes. Each note has a short menu written in pencil.
We shuffle it around. That's why I've come to this post-it note system, so that I can keep moving it around. It looks like a jigsaw puzzle. It is a bit like a puzzle. We make sure that we meet all the requirements and still have a meal a child wants to eat.
Gaffney has been with the Elk Grove Food Program for about 18 years. The district adopted California's SHAPE program, that stands for Shaping Health as Partners in Education. Gaffney's work has won awards and landed Elk Grove School Lunch Program on First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move website. Gaffney explains that up until July 1st, the system was nutrient-based.
We looked at the nutrition involved in the foods, so that's sort of the science behind it. Did they get enough calcium? Did they get enough protein, etc.?
Now it's component-based, by the week. There's a meat component or a meat alternative like beans or cheese. The new regs require Gaffney to schedule 9 servings of grains a week.
But since we have 5 days in a week, I can't just do 2 grains every day because that would put me at 10 and I'd be over by a grain. It sounds ridiculous, but that's the system we're working with.
And there's the color-coded fruit and vegetable component.
You have to have something from the orange-red category. You have to have a dark green vegetable, say your romaine lettuce, spinach. You need to have a starchy vegetable, and then they have another group called the other.
Elk Grove has designed a food immersion program that gives kids a voice in the lunchroom and the classroom.
One reason why students are more likely to take our foods is because they have had input on what's going to go on the school lunch menu.
Elk Grove's first and third graders taste test new lunch recipes. Second graders tour their school's cafeteria. Fourth graders take worksheets to a farmer's market. Fifth graders tour a grocery store. Sixth graders learn food science in nutrition labs. The younger kids sample food in a statewide program called Harvest of the Month.
Today, we're going to learn about zucchini.
Third grade teacher Patty Bright brought to class zucchini from her home garden. It's been cut into sticks for each student to examine.
And we're going to explore our zucchini before we taste it. We have a little chart. The first column of the chart, the title says, because we have 5 stages.
After the raw zucchini is touched, smelled, and tasted, it's steamed in a microwave. Mrs. Bright transforms the zucchini with a simple recipe using lemon and Parmesan cheese.
Does it taste the same as the raw zucchini dip?
No.
Some kids in the class did not know zucchini, but they had to analyze it and try it. Most liked it. Some threw it away. What matters is that they were introduced to zucchini. For Food and Nutrition Services Director Michelle Drake, all the elements of the Elk Grove School District's food offerings complete a circle, particularly when she opens up the big commissary kitchen for student tours.
They see the trucks, they see how the food comes in, how it's prepared, and then when they go back to school and they eat it, they go, oh wow, I see how it all comes together. I think when they see how it's made, that they are grateful, they do understand that there was love that went into it, and I think that they do appreciate what they receive from us.
There are many rules that schools must follow to comply with the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. As Elaine Korn discovered, the school nutrition professionals in the Elk Grove District already exceed those requirements and go beyond with their passion for providing healthy food for all their students. The schools we visited in this program are succeeding because they have a goal of seeing their students thrive. They understand what's at stake is more than just lunch. It's bringing the whole community together to raise healthier kids. The problem of childhood obesity won't be solved simply by improving school lunch. But every day, nearly 32 million children around the country will go through the lunch line making their choices. And that's where change begins.
What's for Lunch was reported by Steve Milne,
Marianne Russ,
and Elaine Korn.
Produced by Catherine Stifter, Paul Conley,
and Alan Ray.
Multimedia and web content was created by
Andrew Nixon,
Veronica Nagy, and Al Gibbs.
Music composed and performed by Scott Collard.
The executive producer was Joe Barr.
Funding for this program was provided by the California Endowment and the
California Healthcare Foundation.
There's so much more online, including the recipe for those SB12 chocolate chip cookies at
capradio.org/lunch. That's capradio.org/lunch.
This program was produced by Capital Public Radio in Sacramento.